Your Bibles, please, for our second reading to the 12th chapter of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundation of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege, both against Judah and against Jerusalem. And in that day will I make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all the people. All that burden themselves with it shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. In that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. And I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say in their heart, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. In that day I will make the governors of Judah like an hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf. And they shall devour all the people round about, on the right hand and on the left. And Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in her own place, even in Jerusalem. The Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first, that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem do not magnify themselves against Judah. In that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddo. And the land shall mourn, every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, the family of the house of Shimei apart, and their wives apart. All the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. Well, it's a fascinating passage. We are ramping up toward the end of the book. As I told you in the last hour, chapter 11 speaks about the difficulties that Jerusalem will suffer up to the days of Messiah, and now we begin to open up the days of Messiah for the church. Not Jerusalem literally interpreted, but as it's used in Hebrews chapter 12, that heavenly Jerusalem, that church of the firstborn ones whose names are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. That Jerusalem. There have been many that have stumbled, and we love our dispensational brethren. They are indeed fine Christian folk, many of them. Their penchant to want to interpret passages like Zechariah chapter 12 in that baldly literal fashion, that it must be the city of Jerusalem which must be rebuilt, and then the Jews that inhabit that city will mourn, as the passage says literally, we don't believe they have the right understanding of that. We're talking about the heavenly Jerusalem. We are ramping up to that close of the book when in that day there shall be upon the bells of the horses holiness unto the Lord, and the pots in the Lord's house shall be like bowls before the altar. That is, that even on horses' bridles, we're ringing out the message of the gospel. Okay? So, with that said, as an introduction to chapter 12, notice that in this prior chapter, there was judgment that was coming on that faithless nation, Jerusalem, Judah, Israel. But then there's going to be a time when the Lord will make Jerusalem, Judea, Israel, and so on, he will make them a cup of trembling unto all the people round about, when they shall be in the siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Marvel not, Christ says, my brethren, if the world hate you, if they circle you about, if they besiege you, if they marginalize and patronize and persecute. The Lord is going to make his people like a burdensome stone and like a cup of trembling to all those. The way the prophet Isaiah will say it is, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. This is speaking of a general triumph of the church in the days of Christ, here in Zechariah chapter 12. So, Jerusalem shall be that cup of trembling. The world will besiege her, hedge her in, limit, marginalize, endeavor to extirpate the church. But the Lord says, I'm going to make her a burdensome stone, and everyone that lifts up that stone shall be cut in pieces by it. We have nothing to fear. As we say in our confession of faith, the Bible makes clear, there will always be a church on earth to worship the Lord. The church will never be eradicated. Why? Because the Lord preserves her. The Lord sustains her. The Lord advances her. So then we come to verse 3. We have that burdensome stone. In verse 4, the Lord is going to smite every horse with astonishment, his rider with madness. In other words, we ought not to expect horses to circle outside the church building. These are the weapons of warfare of that day. And so the Lord is saying that no weapon that is formed against the church will prosper. The Lord is going to turn those horses and those riders away. He will open his eyes upon the house of Judah and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. And the governors of Judah shall say, that is, the leaders of the church, they will say, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts their God. That is, that the officers of the church will appreciate the people, and the people will appreciate the officers, and together they will be one another's strength, no matter what the world throws at them. Now we come to verse 6. The governors of Judah will be like a hearth of fire, like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people round about. So it's more talk about the judgment of the world around the church, that the church will expand, that the church will grow. You know me, my eschatology. I'm not really in any neat category, but I am in this category. I'm a triumphalist. I believe in the eventual triumph of the gospel over the world, that the world will be what I call largely Christianized at some point in the future, and that until that time, we're going to have pockets of reformation and pockets of deformation, but with a general advancement until the Lord says, it is enough, now I will return. And so we see this advancement of the church. Notice, in that day shall the Lord defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. He that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David, the mighty man of valor. And David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And of course, that's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, that the David that is among us is actually that greater son of David, the angel of the Lord before them. So then it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. But not just that. Not just some kind of defense outside of the church. But the Lord also says that he will do a work inside the church. In that day I will pour out upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Beloved, it's okay to receive that scripture as a prophecy of the suffering of Christ for you. That's what's being said here. That when the Lord pours out the spirit of grace and supplication, that we will recognize that it is our sins that have pierced Christ. Our sins that have sent him to the cross. And we will mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Not for him per se, but bitterness because of our own sins, right? This is what Jesus says in the Beatitudes. Blessed are they that mourn for their sins, because they shall be comforted. And then, in that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the great mourning of Hadad-Rimmon in the valley of Megiddon. And you've heard about the valley of Megiddon. You know that's the great valley of judgment in Scripture. Everybody wants to talk about Armageddon. What's Armageddon? Beloved, once you learn the languages, all this mystery goes away. Armageddon is simply Har Megiddo. And Har Megiddo is the mountains around the valley of Megiddo. And so Armageddon is often spoken of as the great place of judgment at the end of the world, because it was used as an object lesson, because in the valley of Megiddo, great King Josiah fell. And so it was a valley of judgment. That's all. Nothing magic about it. But that mourning shall be as in the mountains of Megiddo, or the valley of Megiddo. And then we end the chapter with this. This is really interesting. Remember, we talked just a little bit ago about circumcision and the Passover, that it was just for the males in the Old Testament. Notice what the Lord says here. And in that day, the land shall mourn every family apart, the family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart. The family of the house of Nathan apart, and their wives apart. Who are Nathan and David? We're not talking about Nathan the prophet here. We're talking about Nathan, David's son. David had a son named Nathan. And so, in the family of the king, not just the king himself, but the whole family of the king, including the wives and the sons, they will also mourn. This is not going to be just your dad's religion, in other words. This day of the New Testament, the spirit of grace and supplication is going to be poured out, and everyone's going to mourn. Not just a certain choice few, but those who belong to the Lord. Those who belong to him, they will belong to him outwardly, as many did in the Old Testament, but they will also belong to him inwardly. The family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Shimei apart, and their wives apart. Levi and Shimei, they represent the priestly family. So the kingly family and the priestly family. But notice that this mourning will be throughout their entire households, reaching down into their children, that it won't simply be a nominal religion any longer. And then finally, the prophet rounds out that by saying, all of the families that remain, every family apart, and their wives apart. And so it speaks of the greatness of the pouring out of the Spirit of God in the days of the New Testament, that there will be a greater effusion of that Spirit in the days of the New Testament than there was in the Old, such that your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions, and so on. Thus ends the reading then of Zechariah chapter 12.